All right, I'll call this meeting to order. Let's stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Director Sesenia.
Here.
Director Cross.
Here.
Director Hubbard.
Present.
Vice President Forcroy.
I'm here.
President Womack.
Present. So we are having a closed session regarding the general manager's contract review. I'll open this for public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand. There is no public comment online.
All right, none in the boardroom, so I'll close public comment and we'll adjourn to closed session. Okay, we convened to open session and we have no reportable items. So we start with a special presentation. Am I reading it or are you reading?
I'll have you read it, I think.
Okay.
You have it up there, but I'd like to say a few words before we get started on it. I know we have Liz's family here and thank you for coming. When Terry came by and told me that of her untimely passing, it was just such a shock. And I want to say, from my perspective, you know, I was in charge of helping the folks up there in the disaster, and Liz's help was incredible. And again, that's on a personal level. Of course, the Community Services District and me as the face of that, we weren't very popular up there. And she really made a difference in connecting me with the residents up there and being able to actually helping that assistance. So from the bottom of my heart, I had to say that. I thank Liz incredibly.
You know, what was, I mean, just the irony of it all. I think she was just moving in at the time. I don't know if she had unpacked from Terry's place. I think everything was in boxes. It was just like just moved in and boom, that tragedy hit. And yet she decided that this neighborhood needed me. And so she did. She dug in and knew who you could approach in what way to help them. Because some people you couldn't, like Ron said, you're the CSD. You just flooded my house. You know, you're from the government. You're here to help. So she was our inroad in a lot of those things and didn't have to do all that. And I just appreciated that. I do. And it was just a shock.
Yes.
What a shock.
What a shock.
Yeah, sorry for your loss. She was a great help to our community and to us.
And a very special person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we read the background or just the...
No, just...
Okay, so I don't think it can look at you. Okay, we have a proclamation of the Los Osos Community Service District Board of Directors in recognition and remembrance of Liz Peterson for her service to Los Osos. Whereas the community of Los Osos suffered catastrophic flooding on January 9th, 2023, exacerbated by winter storms that were declared both state and national disaster, damaging 20 homes and displacing multiple residents. And whereas during this time of crisis, local coordination and information were urgently needed to facilitate FEMA and CAL FIRE disaster and relief responses. And whereas Liz Peterson volunteered countless hours to provide the Los Osos Community Service District with detailed information collected from each resident, addressing both immediate housing needs and long-term recovery efforts. And whereas Liz served as a vital bridge between the residents, FEMA, and the Los Osos Community Service District, offering extraordinary commitment to public service, a generous gift of time, and a unique combination of skills, including construction knowledge, organizational expertise, and emergency EMT work experience that brought comfort and strength to the Los Osos community in its time of need. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Los Osos Community Service District does hereby recognize and honor Liz Peterson for her exceptional service, her devotion to community, and her compassionate leadership, and be it further resolved that a copy of this proclamation be posthumously presented to Liz Peterson's family as a lasting token of our gratitude and respect, dated this fourth day of September 2025.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you have a copy of it?
Did I leave in the room?
Yeah, we would not have gotten through that, I don't think, without her help, her connection to the people in the neighborhood. Like I said, she knew how to approach who needed what. And this is from somebody who had just moved into the neighborhood. So it wasn't, she didn't have to do all that.
Did we hide it? In the blue folder?
To the point where people got jealous. Well, why are you calling her? Well, because she knows what's going on. No, but I've lived here longer. Well, I'm sorry. But...
So,
yes.
This was a very special project for her, and we all heard about it. Had no names, any face, or anything like that, but we all heard about it, and it was a labor of love for her. And we appreciate you guys honoring her because of that's going to show. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That neighborhood was devastated, and she helped so much. Oh,
hi, Dad.
Really?
Thank you so much. We
appreciate it. Well, we appreciate everything she did. I mean, and going through the whole ret, was it cataracts? What was the eye thing? She had eye problems going on right then. Right. She'd come to our meetings and be trying to read her notes to us, and
oh, do you want to be on the go ahead and stand up and but then they can hear you better.
Yeah, we can't hear you online if you're not at the microphone.
Yes.
The podium causes immense stage fright, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have stage fright either. but I'd like to thank all the people that are watching also that have been her special friends here and how loved she was here in this community because she was our wanderer, our gypsy. And you guys made her feel very welcome and very special. And we're glad that she could help you out. So thank you very much. This is very special.
Great. She's a blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Can I take public comment real quick?
Absolutely. Thanks for reminding me.
Yes. If you're online and would like to make a public comment, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium.
Yeah, I knew we'd have one.
Okay. There's none online.
Oh.
Richard Margetson, Chuck and I were part of the team that was helping up there in the financial. I'm president of People Helping People in town. And Liz and Chuck and I worked on a lot of things together up there. But she was the conduit of what they needed. And they would come to one of us and say, you know, this home needs gas card and a grocery card or whatever. And then we would, and then she would pass it. But the one thing that was, when you say somebody steps up and goes the extra mile, when FEMA came out and were doing the estimates in some of the homes, One of the people they brought with had a medical condition and couldn't enter some of the properties because of the possibility of mold and stuff. So they didn't have a person to remember, Chuck? They didn't have a person to measure because they had to go around and measure rooms and, you know, what was destroyed and stuff. And she would just say, okay, I will do it. And some of them took 3, 4, 5 hours. And she didn't have that in her schedule that day. She just did it. And it was those kind of things in the background. It wasn't just communicating with the residents. And she followed, she did that kind of thing. And then she followed up. You know, she'd make that extra phone call to see, you know, where is this family? You know, when are they going to get some assistance and stuff, to the very end, till a lot of it was resolved. She's the reason that some of those people got their money quicker than they may have. So she was very valuable and she was a real asset. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Brian, and Brian Bennett, and I'm a friend of Liz's. And I just wanted to expand on what's being said here about Liz, because I know Liz from two other places. One of them is the Alano Club in San Luis Obispo, and the other one is which is a recovery place center where we have housed people and stuff like that. And she helped a lot in there with what we were designing and inside internally in the building, measuring, you know, get her tape out and all that stuff. And also at the local Grange Hall in San Luis Obispo, she got involved in that. And she was implemental in, is that the right word? In she was very handy in getting things done and moving things forward as far as, and so if you go by the Grange Hall, you'll see it's been painted on the outside. And if you come inside, you'll see that she was implemental in getting the inside done and finished. And it was just great to work with her because it was like this energy in her was like, let's do this, let's do this. Oh no, don't do this. Don't do that. You know, it was just a, really a joy to work with her. I got to know her personally. You know, it was just, like everyone said, this is an untimely death, and she is just sorely missed. So there's no two ways about it. So anyhow, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for loving my dog.
Yeah.
Well, if there's not anything else, move on to our next.
Downhill from here.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, right. Thank you. And again, sorry for your loss.
Yes.
All right. Public safety reports. Do we have anyone online, Laura?
I have both the sheriff and CHP.
All right. Let's start with the sheriff.
All right, Commander Abbas, you just have to unmute yourself.
Good afternoon. How's everyone doing this morning or this afternoon? Give me just a second. Pull up my statistics here. All right. So for the month of August, the sheriff's office had a total number of calls for service totaling at 451. This is down from 467 from last year at the same time. Of note were 32 enforcement stops, 27 suspicious circumstances call, 28 preventative patrol activities, and 18 disturbance calls for service. That is all I have, unless anybody else has anything specific for me.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? I think there are no questions. Thank you. Thanks for your report.
All right. Thank you.
All right, California Highway Patrol.
Good evening, everyone. I'll just go over some of the notable crashes that we had for the community. We had a hit and run on 8th Street and South Ramona. It was a vehicle versus a parked car, and somebody comes out in the morning and they see that the car has been hit. Those are a little bit more troubling for us because without essentially a witness or any evidence, it's hard for us to actually contact somebody for, you know, whoever completed that, you know, hit and run. We had a major injury on South Bay and south of Los Olivos. This one was kind of alarming as a person actually got out of their car when traffic was moving. It was subsequently struck. We're still looking into the reasons why they felt it was, that was the hit and run. There's a major injury on South Bay and south of Los Olivos. That's where that person got out of the car and was subsequently hit. We had another hit and run on LOVR at South Bay where a person was rear-ended. And as they the car up front was doing the right thing, trying to pull over to the right, the car fled the scene from there. On we had a Bayview Heights south of LOVR. We have a minor injury crash where a motorcycle is proceeding and a car pulled out from the shoulder and subsequently struck the motorcycle, causing minor injuries from there. We had another property damage crash at Los Olivos and 10th Street. That was a right-of-way violation. And then at Santa Isabel and 14th, we had another right-of-way violation as well. I want to highlight some of our Labor Day statistics. For the San Luis Obispo area, we had 336 enforcement contacts and 7 DUIs. Again, I appreciate everybody's help. When you see somebody that you might believe is DUI, to call 911 and let us know so we can get those officers out there. One thing that has been brought to my attention, the community of Los Olivos, specifically on LOVR, is there's an individual that is engaging in a lot of road rage incidents with people, and that's been reported to our office. I'll let you know that we have responded to this individual's house, made contact with him and his family, and let him know that we are currently looking into the matter. We're also deploying our officers to this location where we receive multiple calls in hopes that we can actually catch him in the act and take our appropriate enforcement action. So with that, if anybody has any questions, we'll be more than happy to answer.
All right, any questions from the board?
I hope the warning does the job. I mean, if that's not, thank you for going to that. That's above and beyond. Even a warning.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I certainly appreciate that. When people call things in like this, we do take it serious because a lot of times we found people are impaired, and to get multiple calls across multiple different days of somebody driving like this, it causes alarm for us. You know, roadways are very. It's where everybody travels. It's where my family travels. So we got to keep them safe. And we went to the guy's house and made him aware that we're looking into him. So we'll continue to do so as if he doesn't stop, we'll work with the district attorney and figure out what appropriate charges that we can file on for these actions.
Are we allowed to know what kind of vehicle this was, or is there a privacy concern?
There's a little bit of privacy concerns. We also want to, you know, maintain a level of, I guess you want to call it investigation wise. We have a lot of different tools that we use to help identify who this individual was. So I hope our actions, knocking on the door and letting him know and then continuing to, talk to other people in the community. If we see it, then we will take that action on it. So I hope it stops. If it doesn't, we'll take what action we need to.
All right. Good to know. Be careful out there.
Thank you so much.
My kid's learning to drive, so.
Okay, that's exciting. That's an exciting time.
Yeah, well. Okay, and thank you very much. Oh, do I open this up for public comment or?
Yes.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
Do I have someone from the fire department online?
Okay.
No.
All right.
Fund 301, fire budget discussion and options.
Thank you very much. This is a continuation from our conversation we had way back on May 14th. That was started by our preliminary budgets analysis, and that we identified that we were going to have a shortfall. We have been getting services from County Cal Fire for emergency fire and emergency services since 2004. That has been a great relationship partnership. So we do want to acknowledge that. And they've provided excellent customer service or community service. And this is despite some of the turnover in their headquarters and staff management, which we had issues with there for a while as we were working through how we were billed. just for people to understand, each year, County Fire provides the district with a schedule of charges and services. This is referred to as schedules A through E, and that, like I said, summarizes the cost for the various services in that in our agreement with the county and CAL FIRE. We'd been seeing relatively small changes over most of the contract term to date in the 2-4% range, but we did hit some bumps starting in the fiscal year 2019-20 and coming up to the current fiscal year. So we've seen these double-digit increases. And because of this, our revenue sources have been running sources. The projections for this fiscal year were running a deficit of approximately $278,000. This is the budget summary that we provide in our budget document, which kind of outlines. And this was even the 278 includes where we made reductions in several other areas of the budget. So it could have been higher if we were going status quo type budget. Just as a little more background, County and CAL FIRE have indicated they want to change what changes in some of the terms of the current contract, which would include additional charges for service. This would be vehicle maintenance to be determined, dispatch, which could be very expensive, probably in the $150,000 to $160,000 range per year. And personnel, they have indicated they want us to pay for part of a battalion chief position, and that could run as high in the $100,000 range. And we've also had issues with county administrative office on the countywide overhead charges, and we still haven't come to resolution on how to handle that. So as noted, the county contract has been fairly consistent, so there really hasn't been any issue from year to year until recently. And that the revenues have increased at a steady rate and had provided adequate revenues to support both the county contract charges and operations at our station and consistently fund our financial reserves, all of which are very, very important in the success of our service we provide the community. I want to make the second bullet that I have on this one, I want to make sure people understand this does not include the higher staffing levels that were identified in our standard of cover or the fire station building improvements in the fire station building assessment study. Because some people had said, oh, this must include the level of service going from a 3 regular positions to 4. This does not in this analysis. The current property tax for a single family dwelling is $109 per year. Staff is currently working on expense projections using the baseline of the fiscal year 25-26 fiscal budget numbers. Preliminary results show that it'll take a significant increase in the tax to balance the budget over time, given the escalation of costs that we've seen for the past several years. And any of the options that we identified back on May 14th, minus the one where we hand our authority back to the county, will take a Proposition 218 vote. Back on May 14th, we looked at 4 options, and I'll go over those quickly. Options 1, continue contracting with County Fire, and Option 2, district staff fire setting up our own staffed fire department are part of the report being discussed tonight. And I'll indicate the reason for that as we get moving along here. So a quick summary of the 4 options before we move forward is to continue with County CAL FIRE. There will be many challenges associated that I indicated in one of the previous slides that I had shown. We talked a little bit about staffing our own fire department and moving away from the contracted services, but this would be a great undertaking, but possible, but it'll cost time, and there are a lot of uncertainties associated with this. We had talked about partnering with another agency. This option would take time and effort to find a willing partner and then determine scope of work, negotiate terms, costs, and conditions of service. And so before we staff moved forward with this, we wanted to make sure that that partnering agency, in this case, Morro Bay, were aware that we were in these discussions. And so as a courtesy, we wanted to make sure we that the board could ask us to do something in that regards, like a letter of interest. And then finally, I call it the nuclear option, would be divestiture of our fire service responsibilities. And this would be the last resort.
Would that require going to LAFCO?
Yes, it would. And the county would have to agree to accept it.
Right.
Right. So here we're going to, I'm putting together, like I said, the first two options, an analysis, cost analysis for the county fire versus our own fire department. What I did was utilize the city of Morro Bay's fire department fiscal budget 25-26, since they are a similar size community and a full service fire department like we would like to have. We did look at other agencies, but determined Morro Bay's salary scale and organizational structure would be provide that long-term sustainability model for the district. Some of the other ones that were looked at was Cambria and Templeton. Though they are operating okay, they have a lot of turnover because of their salary scales and the retention problems that come along with that. There are some fundamental differences in the service levels between Cal Fire and Morro Bay, which made it a little bit difficult to make that side-by-side comparison, but I tried to normalize it the best I could, and I'll explain that as we get into the numbers. The Cal Fire budget is presented on the status quo for services and personnel. And that is the three regular positions plus one reserve firefighter. Additionally, like I said, Cal Fire has indicated they want these other enhancements to the contract, but nothing has been negotiated on that yet. I did include the contribution of the financial reserves contribution in both. Definitely that wasn't in the Morro Bay contract, and it is in the Cal Fire contract, but I added it to the Morro Bay. So for Cal Fire, the numbers for 25-26 in fiscal years 2025-26 and 27 are numbers that they've actually provided as part of the three-year contract they have with the county, which is, again, trickles down to us. So these were based off those numbers. O&E is for operations and equipment. And this is something that they've indicated they would like us to pay a bigger share of, but I don't have numbers. So these are just working off our current budget, fiscal year budget. Dispatch isn't in the Cal Fire budget. And so I inserted the $150,000, which is fairly close to the Morro Bay, City of Morro Bay numbers, what they pay for their dispatch at a similar call volume. And then the financial reserve contributions are just from our 25-26 fiscal year 25-26 budget and then extrapolated out. And then operating costs include not only the station costs, but the reserve firefighter program. So the fiscal year 25-26 are actual numbers with the insertion of the dispatch and then extrapolated out. So these are where the unknowns play into it's not being an exact comparison, but as good as I can get with what I know. That moves us over to the city of Morro Bay. To stand up our own station, like I said, I used their this current fiscal year budget as presented and approved. I did add the district's financial reserve contribution. Staffing costs do include four positions, and also include the full cost for fire chief, assistant fire chief, and administrative tech positions. So kind of their admin part. So their staffing cost, again, it was extrapolated off the fiscal year 2025-26. So these are their actual costs. Dispatch costs in their budget is included in the operating cost. So it's down in that other number. And then, of course, like I said, I added the financial contribution, reserve contributions. So you can get a sense of what that'll cost. And I have a side-by-side table coming up here that'll help. But in summary, when comparing the two options, the county CAL FIRE is least cost under the contract terms that we currently have, but these could change. But even if the contract increases, setting up a district staff fire department would be very challenging and very expensive. But like I said at the beginning, we could do it. So the magnitude of expense will need to be determined if and when CAL FIRE contract is amended. So we still have some time before the board makes a decision on what we want to do here. But that will play into any of the Prop 218 numbers that we decide on. In order to evaluate the options of partnering with another agency, staff is requesting that the board provide direction to draft and send a letter of interest to Morro Bay. And then I did provide the side-by-side comparison in this bottom table here. So here's my recommendation, and I can answer any questions that the board might have.
Any questions from the board?
I can go back to this one so you
nice
can kind of see.
Complete report. Shall I open this up for public comment?
Yes.
Let's open this item up for public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And in the boardroom, please come to the podium. I do have one online.
All right. I think they're the only one, so.
All right, Jeff, you just have to unmute yourself.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Chair and board members. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I did want to speak to item 8A. In referring to the staff report, you heard that this, whatever happens, it's going to require an increase in the special fire tax. It's $109 per year per parcel now. This number is likely, by my calculations, likely to go to $250 per year. And there is no time, as your general manager suggested. This is something that must happen now. And further referring to your staff report, it appears that continuing to contract with County CAL FIRE is the only realistic option. A phrase comes to mind, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. Your ability to stand up your own station is way over your head and capabilities. I wouldn't waste time on a letter to Morro Bay or anybody else in terms of a partnership. Your general manager has plenty to do. I would focus on preparing an increase in the special fire tax and get it on the June 2026 ballot. It's critical that that happen. And unfortunately, if this had already been prepared, you could have snuck on to the November 2025 election coming up, but that's opportunity's been missed. You know that the increase in the special fire tax is juxtaposed to this whole notion of a parks and rec tax that could be as much as the $250 per year per parcel. And at the end of the day, you run the risk of burning out your general manager. He has 1 year left on his contract. Even with a succession plan where he has to train a new individual, a new manager, which takes a lot of time, he has to deal with water, including the next item on your agenda, 8B, this fire issue, closing out the FEMA and Cal OES. There's the Basin Management Committee meetings. And staff meetings associated with that, advisory committee preparation, agenda prep, meeting prep. you know, you need to focus on the fire attacks. This needs to be prepared right away. You can't wait for CAL FIRE. You need to get those numbers, get it on the ballot. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, there is no other public comment online.
Oh, thank you.
Richard Margotson, I was hoping there'd be some board discussion or questions before we went to the public, but the difference between, based on just the numbers in these charts, the difference between Morro Bay and staying with CAL FIRE is about 360,000 in the outlying year of 27, 28. But that gets us to 40 staffing as compared to what we are now. But we also have to take into account that if that's the direction we go, we won't have the reserve cost, which we currently have in the budget for CAL FIRE. There's a lot of other nuances that have to be worked out, but I think the board should at least authorize Ron to contact Morro Bay and talk about what the possibilities are. Because the ultimate goal when Yes on AO5 was passed was that we would go get to 40 staffing. And it's been 20 years, sorry, and we're not there yet. Definitely don't want to stand alone. And I definitely don't want to divest back to the county, because we won't know what we get with the county, because this level of service is superior in the unincorporated area. And I don't want to be in a model where everybody's getting the same, and it's not, we're not at the level we are now. So that, I'm sure that's probably where you guys are, but definitely that's out. So there's more analysis that needs to be done, but we got to get going on this. This is very important to the community. And like I've said many times, CAL FIRE saves lives. Above anything else that's going on in this community, CAL FIRE saves lives.
Thank you. All right. Any further comment from the board?
I definitely tend to agree with the sentiment that our own fire department is just a reach that I don't really want to look at. But partnering with Morro Bay, I think we have to at least examine it and look at it, because that or CAL FIRE are the options. The county is not going to open their arms and take things. Well, maybe they will, but our service level suffers. You got to go through LAFCO. That's going to be complicated. So yeah, I'm kind of in favor of reaching out to Morro Bay, but kind of focusing on that and CAL FIRE as the two options.
Makes sense to me. And just having the letter, just giving them a heads up that we're thinking about it, mm-hmm. even if we're not leaning towards that right now. If the numbers change, then our feelings about that may change. Mm-hmm. So, I'm in favor of the letter, and I agree with you. You know, we need to be able to control our own destiny, so that's why I wouldn't want to give it back to the county. Then you don't have as much say in what happens or what coverage you get. You just get what they give you, and I'm not in favor of that.
How much control over our own destiny will we have if we choose to partner with Morro Bay or continue with CAL FIRE? I feel like with CAL FIRE, we're still kind of beholden to how they decide to run things.
Well, how would that be different from Morro Bay?
I don't think it would be different. I'm wondering how much control over destiny we do have. I do like the levels of service we get right now. I'm sure we will have good levels of service in Morro Bay. I'm just fond of having more control over our own district, but I understand the challenge involved.
Well, I think we could control the coverage, right? We just have to we have to pay for it. The community has to agree to pay what it costs. Mm-hmm. If you go to the county, you get the coverage they give you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say we want four people.
I think, Tom, you're saying you probably would rather lean towards our own fire station.
But you know, the more I think about it, that does seem like a very intimidating challenge. It's more that I want to guarantee that we have a say in how our coverage is run with whoever we decide to partner with.
Well, and as Chris alluded, it's basically we tell them, you know, like right now we've had the three regular one reserve to have the four seats, you know, two in each truck covered. Beyond that, even if it was our own station, the board or the general manager wouldn't have any say how it's actually run, if you know what I mean. I know we pay a tremendous amount of overhead or overtime. And overhead, but over time, under the CAL FIRE model, because of the way they rotate people, there's typically a staff that is up there most of the time, but then they rotate in engineers or others as needed. And sometimes those people they rotate in, you know, are in an overtime situation. Anyway, it's if you if I'll definitely have that kind of number sorted out when we get into a more serious discussion on the bottom line.
All right. That was going to be my question, Ron. So the CAL FIRE is not really, I wouldn't say accurate, but it's not, it's could change the figures for the costs.
Yeah, they can, and that's I need, and it's the other tough part in it, with CAL FIRE is this is their fire season. So to really have someone administratively sit down and talk is very challenging right now. But that's something that has to happen. Is I could point out what they've talked about over the last couple of years, you know, the battalion chief, dispatch costs, et cetera. But there's nothing been, you know, negotiated or put on the table to negotiate. But we have to get to that point.
And how long do you think that might take to get some really, excuse me, valid numbers from them?
I don't know. Like I said, it's fire season, everyone disappears. I haven't talked to anyone except for Chief Province a couple of times in months. So,
Now the Morro Bay numbers, though, however, are pretty much set. I mean, those are realistic and.
well, yeah, and the only challenge there was we don't have a similar line item budget, you know, the district, because we get our Schedule A. And you don't really see exactly what you're paying for. It's just like this kind of sum for personnel, sum for this, sum for that. So if you looked at the city of Morro Bay as that attachment, we would have to develop something similar, even in a partnership with them, because there are things that we got to make sure we have covered that are now kind of assumed into the Schedule A costs. It's a little bit of a challenge, but not impossible.
The bottom line is this is it's due. It's been 20 years,
Right.
and we're still paying less than they proposed tax at that time. So, it's time to take a good hard look at the 4-0 staffing level if we can accomplish that. That's been a goal for a long time, but it's definitely it's time. It's due. We're
Yeah.
20 years.
Could you remind me what the turnover rate for CAL FIRE is for their staff?
I don't know their turnover rate in
Or,
particular.
you know, have we had issues with turnover with CAL FIRE, or have they been pretty good keeping staff?
Well, with anything, the CAL FIRE, it's like they operate on a statewide level. So jobs come, like a lot of, not a lot, quite a few of our staff live like down in Ventura or Riverside County, and they commute. And if they find something they want somewhere else, they'll commute there closer to home. So that's what, how, as positions open, they can rotate people, but they always have someone else come, not always, but have people coming in behind. For instance, like our battalion chief, that's going to be whoever takes Paul's position, Chief Province's position, more than likely won't be from this area.
And if we went with a partner with Morro Bay, the staff would be more local.
It's all local.
Oh,
I mean,
fantastic.
county, you know, inside county.
Would it be fair to say that the reporting of the cost from CAL FIRE in the past has not been, I don't want to say accurate, but, you know, sort of dicey or, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's where that $1.2 million settlement on overcharges came from, was, you know, their lack of oversight on their accounting practices.
Okay, so we could probably, I mean, again, be the Morbay reporting would look like it'd be inherently more accurate.
Yes, and again, it's because of the size of the organization, CAL FIRE, plus, well, they had turnover, which in their office, you know, like accounting positions. But their, my understanding is the way they have to assign costs, you know, like when someone's filling out their timesheet, there's a lot of room for error. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't been a lot of great oversight on that part. So it was a combination of staff turnover, people doing a job they didn't understand how to correct or look at something to correct, like it's something as simple as a timesheet, that added up over those 3-year period to that $1.2 million. And I think there's probably more money there.
I was going to say, is that going to continue, do you think?
Well, I don't have a lot of trust. I'm asking for a lot more documentation mm-hmm. to back up the bills we're paying, and we're slowly getting more documentation.
I think we should see what Morbay has to offer.
I think it's worth looking at.
Yeah, and that's where we're saying, yeah, they should probably get a letter of our intent of wanting to possibly partner with them.
Okay, so do I hear a motion?
Yeah, I'll move to receive and file the report and direct the general manager to draft and send a letter of interest to the city of Morbay regarding a future partnership to provide Los Osos with fire protection and emergency medical services.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on. Award of the Water Resiliency Intertie Project Design Agreement.
Yes. If you recall, back on July 10th, I provided the board with a pretty extensive report on the current condition of the Los Osos groundwater basin, and this was all came about because of the recently completed transient model that indicates that the current average rate and spatial distribution of pumping would cause seawater to intrude further into the basin, which is an indication that current average pumping and distribution is not sustainable. So that was the premise of the report, was to report out on a couple of things. One was on what the new ground transient model was showing us in terms of our groundwater condition. And that, you know, then, you know, we've been talking about the Water Resiliency Intertie Project for quite a few years now, and it's been kind of slow rolling out. But I've been working consistently on it. And so I, you know, explained the conceptual strategy to enhance our long-term approach to improve the groundwater's water quality and the seawater intrusion issues. And really, one of the biggest things for me is also to improve our resiliency of our water supply. The outcome was the board approved to release the request for proposals for the project, and then gave me the authorization to execute a contract if it was within 20% of the engineering estimate. That was $630,240. So we went out to RFP on July 11th, August 21st, the submittal deadline. We got three proposals from all highly qualified local consulting firms. That was M&S Engineers, Canon, and Water Systems Consulting. The review team was myself, Rob Miller, and Steve Tanaka, both from Wallace Group. We reviewed the proposals on the responsiveness to the scope of work in the RFP, qualifications and the support staff, and the team unanimously chose WSC is by far the most comprehensive and thorough proposal of the three. And we are now recommending to the board the award of that contract to WSC. But the downside, financial impact.
Excuse me.
All three of the proposals had their fees above that engineering estimate, I said, of $630,240. WSC's, it was $854,044. And that was in the middle range. The highest one was over $1 million. The lowest one was in the mid $700,000. But that one was probably the lowest rated one, the less expensive. Though WSC's fees for service are, you know, very high than the engineering estimate, their overall project understanding was very thorough, and they identified many of the key issues related to the complexity of the project. Some of those are in the memorandum from Steve Tanaka from Wallace Group. You know, as discussed at the July board meeting, given the urgency highlighted by the transient model and the importance of a project's readiness for grant applications, staff is still recommending that we proceed with the detailed design services to make that project shovel ready. And staff will continue to discuss with Golden State Water and ST Mutual, both of which are very supportive. In fact, I had a conversation with Mark Zimmer today, and Golden State remains very supportive of the project, and we'll continue to proceed with that and update the board with any framework or agreements that we think we should be considering. So with that, I can answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, that $800,000+, is that something we can comfortably budget out?
Well, of course,
it's a large hit, but I think given where we're at, a couple of $100,000, though sounds like a lot of money, we really need. I still strongly we need to move this project forward. It's in the best interest of the whole community. And I think we'll have the partners that will help split those costs.
And delay will make it probably more expensive.
Right. And we'll be moving into uncharted territory for grant funding.
So the extra 6 months for design that came with the WSC proposal, I mean, that seemed like a long time. If the other two were fairly consistent and close, summer of 2026, but you think maybe it's worth the extra 6 months of investment?
Yes, and the reason I say that, as I learned more and more about the complexities of the project, especially as you move to the north on the pipeline alignment, and then once you get into the permitting, which is included in the scope, possible easement, negotiations, waivers from, you know, Division of Drinking Water, all these different things. I want to make sure we do this right.
Hmm.
As much as I'd love to see a shorter duration, I think that's realistic.
It did seem like the main difference between the three firms, according to the score sheets, was project understanding.
Yep.
Everything else kind of balanced out,
right?
But and that usually indicates that you're dealing with somebody who has put a lot of thought into the proposal.
Yes, I do have to say WSC were months in advance of us issuing the RFP. Were very inquisitive and spent time out on the road. In fact, talking with Morro Bay engineers and. Because once you get over by the Highway 1 South Bay, it gets very, very complicated.
All right. Well, I'm very much missing our engineer to ask questions. What has Matthew asked you about this?
I asked him before the meeting if he had any questions, and he didn't.
Didn't have any.
Didn't have any.
Okay. All right. Let's open this item up for public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, come to the podium. There is no public comment online.
And none in the boardroom. All right. Any further discussion from the board?
I will make a motion that the board award a contract to Water Systems Consulting Incorporated in the amount not to exceed the sum of $854,044 to perform the scope of work as provided in Exhibit A and to authorize the general manager to execute the professional services agreement with Water Systems Consulting upon finalization of the provisions of the agreement.
I'll second that.
Roll call vote?
No.
Oh, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. I heard four ayes. So that's all of us.
All right. Thanks so much. It's a big, big, big step.
Yeah. Thank you for all the work you've been doing on that.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's open public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay, none in the boardroom. All right, administrative and committee reports. What is our, let's see, general manager report?
General manager here, let's get there. Before I talk to the general manager report, I just wanted to look, bring up one of the utilities updates, which is in the previous one, that our program C-Well, all the electrical wiring cabling is now complete. And we are going to do an initial startup on September 10th. That is going to be running the pumped water into the basin. They call it running into waste, but we'll actually be able to test the well. So everything's complete. Next, we will need to, and that will allow us to get into the sampling to get the DEDW certification. So we are very, very close to having that in place. The last component will be the SCADA. And that is part of our contract for our SCADA. That's what they've, our contractor Canon is going to make sure that's the first facility connected so we can run it. So we're getting there.
And then there's going to be a lightning storm. And...
Come on, Chuck. on my GM report, there was just a couple of things I wanted to highlight. Sunnyside School acquisition update. Our professional opinion research firm, FM3, is my understanding they have wrapped up the surveys. There's some tentative numbers that have been crunched, but we're looking for the final report on that. Hopefully it will be ready next week. And I was going to suggest that perhaps we have a special meeting to announce those since there's a lot of community interest in that. So once we know what we have the information in hand, we will poll the board to see what the best date would be for that.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Do you think it could be done by the September 20th town hall meeting?
That's my hope.
Excellent.
Yep. Which is the other bullet point there. And depending on the board's, because I'd really like a board decision on to, if we're going to move forward or not, that'll really dictate the citizens working group on if they're going to continue their work or not. Another very interesting document that's out in draft form is the municipal service review for the CSD. It is scheduled for a hearing for adoption on September 18th. Encourage, if you're would like to nerd out on statistics.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
It's a very interesting read. They did a really great job on kind of just summarizing everything we've been doing. So I'd encourage all the board members and public, if you're interested in that type of thing, to check it out.
What would be the best way to check it out?
It's online. Laura, we have it posted on our website.
Yes, it's on our website and LAFCO's website.
And LAFCO. The staff report will be at LAFCO's staff report will be out September 11th, I believe. So we don't have that yet, but we'll make sure that's also posted. Then finally, I've been helping out the IWMA on hiring their assistant director. I helped in the initial recruitment process for their existing or the current or new, I should say, new current executive director. And so that person asked me and Peter Cron to sit in on these assistant jobs. So they're going to round out their management team. And I think the future with that management team will be good. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Okay, any questions from the board? All right. LOCAC, it says written and verbal. Who did LOCAC?
I did LOCAC. Does not run much to report. Most interesting thing for Los Osos is that the County Board of Supervisors voted to approve the Los Osos Valley Road. What's the corridor?
Study.
And that's really about it. Active Transport's doing some interesting things. There's a perceived issue with parking in Baywood during the farmer's market. I want to see if they can solve that problem, if there's a problem to solve there. But that's really about it.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? All right. Let's see, Parks and Rec, but Matthew's not here. You got.
I was at that one.
Okay, good.
I think it went had a record for the shortest meeting ever. There was one board member that showed up for the Parks and Recs committee, so obviously no quorum. There was really nothing to do except acknowledge that we could not, or they could not, do a quorum. It lasted all 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, typically those recently have just been updates, but I was surprised we only had one. Typically, committee members are definitely better about notifying, but for whatever reason.
Well, unfortunate, but I'm glad it doesn't happen that way all the time. Utilities advisory.
We met middle of the month, our usual time. We spent a lot of time on the basin management issues, that discussion, because we had just looked at the well, we had our discussion finally with Spencer Harris of CHG and got a little further update on the calibration of the model, what the model is expected to do and that kind of thing. And then got a lot of pushback. Well, this is probably all going to be covered in your BMC report, but go ahead.
We can tag team on this one.
Okay. Yeah, the county is still working with a second peer review consultant. They're not satisfied that all of the questions have been answered. There is a written, Linker did put out a written response to the draft, I guess, that they looked at, and Cleve Harris responded to some of those things, but a lot of that was, we'll include that in the final report. And so I guess now there's another chance for Linker to review the final report. But it seems apparent that the county's desire is to drag the review on as long as possible. And I heard it again at LOCAC. When the 10-unit hotel condominium at the Van Burden complex was up at LOCAC for discussion, the county claims that they are using the best available information. And so until we adopt a new estimated sustainable yield through the BMC, we're going to see the county staff parroting that line, that they're using the best available information. And I do want to see, I'd like to see the Title 19 report. If individual single family residents are having trouble finding enough retrofit credits for one house, how do we get 10 out of town visitor serving units that have all the credits they need? I would just like to see the calculations on that one and where they were done. I mean, did they change all the toilets in that building several times? Maybe they're on 0.5. I don't know.
But anyway, that was utilities. We mostly talked about the basin management issues.
All right. Oh, Tom, yeah. I was late to finance. So you got that one, Tom? Tom ran it from remotely. So thank you.
Of course. Nothing out of the ordinary. Warrant registers, minutes and everything was approved. I'm still not used to reporting out of financial. So what should I comment on specifically?
Oh, well, I just would copy Marshall with they said to receive and file the warrants and approve the minutes and approve the that's what
financials,
I would
say. Yeah.
But if you want to like ad lib anything, people probably like that too.
It was a very straightforward meeting. We didn't have anything like
quick.
It was very quick. Yeah, approved the warrant registers, approved the financials, approved the minutes. Very standard.
All right.
Well, the president was there.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. Okay, Isaac, I was there. Oh, did we talk about this?
Yeah, we talked. What you saw tonight was basically the main item. The other one was the Los Osos emergency response plan and the need to have backup generation at the South Bay Community Center for since it's now designated as an evacuation center.
So since we sadly had some experience with having Los Osos Valley Road closed and knowing that we need to be on our own, we want to make the community center more resilient. And one of the ways to do that is to have solar panels and backup generators, which over the long term, I think actually saves money. But they could use a little bit of help from us to get that going.
Yes, and what we're going to do now, we got a South Bay Community Center got a great proposal from a local solar firm that looks like it will work, so that it's called a third party agreement. They can get the tax credit
because they don't pay taxes. So, yeah, so in order to get the tax credit, have it cost 30% less, they need to go through another entity.
Right.
And hopefully get the.
So anyway, we're going to be looking at the agreement a little more in depth next week. And People Helping People, Richard's part of, and CSD and Community Center, we're going to see how we can make that happen. So I'd like the board to be prepared for that conversation. I think it's very important. I believe the commitment for the total cost of the system is $56,000. Does that sound right, Richard? Yeah, 50 right there. And so we'll have to see, you know, how much People Helping People. Unfortunately, the community center isn't in a very good financial position, so we'll see what they can actually contribute. But I would encourage the CSD and the board to support the remainder of whatever that can't be raised.
And I think it would be money well spent on our...
Oh, it's, yeah, as you said, it's 2 years ago, we found out that we needed a place for the lights to be on when people get chased out of their homes.
Yeah.
So that'll probably be an agenda item on an upcoming agenda because.
Okay. I was expecting it here. And then I just
realized. Well, it's just because we haven't had a chance to thoroughly review the actual contract with the solar vendor and their third party entity. So we want to make sure what we're getting into is going to work financially as well as, you know, technically.
Right.
So since we have to have something in place and probably constructed before the end of the year to get that tax credit, it's going to have to happen quickly.
Okay. And that'll come on a future agenda item, probably, but that is, that was well discussed. And I think everyone agreed that it was a worthwhile project, something the community needs. So did we talk about anything else? That's what I remember.
Those are the two main things. Because we reviewed the budget and
the regular stuff. Yeah. Okay. And Basin Management Committee report. Do we have extra? Did you kind of go over it?
Was there anything else really on that one? Because I'm sorry, I didn't really look at the.
Yeah, I didn't look back at my notes either. We've already approved the annual report submittal.
That one we've really focused because it took is a 3-hour meeting.
Well, yeah.
The bulk of that, almost all of it, was to talk about the transient model. One thing I will add is the board for the BMC was pushing to get a sustainable yield, new sustainable yield number. And so I think that is going to be at the September meeting.
Good.
This month?
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. We need to at least start that discussion.
Well, that's it. We need, timing-wise, a couple of things. BMC under the county's growth management ordinance has to have a letter to the county in October, so it can be you put into a November staff report for a December determination on the growth rate. So that's kind of pushing it there. And then the BMC needs to have a new sustainable yield number approved by the end of the year. So we wanted at least two meetings, September, October, before that letter has to go. So we'll see. That's going to be an interesting discussion.
Yes. Well, good. Good. I'm glad it's going to be on the agenda.
Yep.
Great. Director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, seminars. I got one. So I attended the Morro Bay Estuary Committee, and it was very interesting. One of the things I learned is there's a new oyster tasting kayak tour in Morro Bay. So that sounds fun. Their work continues on restoring Chorro Creek tributaries for the steelhead trout. And they discussed and voted to approve a $60,000 grant for the Quest Inlet. So that's very much appreciated for our community. Those were the main points. Any questions? And does anyone else have anything to add?
What is the, maybe this is not the right time for, but what is the status of Cuesta Inlet?
I think they're very close.
Very close. Last I heard, they needed 85,000.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they, was that before or after the?
I'm not sure.
And I think there's some people matching. So if they are asking for the community members to contribute now, and I think they have people that will match but you.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, they are closer than close. They are going to make some announcement, I thought, this week.
All right.
So
what happens once they hit their funding goal?
I think they buy the property. I think they're hoping to close before year end.
Yeah, and if they exceed the funding goal, it goes into the property in terms of
maintenance
and other things. They've got liability insurance. And
yep.
Or I think there's a deadline to they have like 90 days to close escrow, and I think that's in November. So I think they're planning on closing before then.
That's so cool. Thank you for the update.
Yeah, that was good. Same day as basin management. Not the same time, though. I don't believe we have any previously asked questions.
I don't know if this is where I do this, but last meeting, I asked about the possibility of stinking badges for badges.
And Laura is working on it. We talked about it. Okay. In the last few weeks, so we'll have something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Yeah, the badgers for
identification. Yeah,
I even have a box of business cards still.
So I didn't want to go that route. All we needed to, just something real simple. Yeah. So if we have to go to places where we need to or we should be identified, that would help out a lot.
I want to see the logo turn into a lapel pin, personally.
Right, with a bear on it.
Yeah.
Like the fire department.
Yeah.
Something simple and not too costly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, does anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda? It looks like a pretty vanilla consent agenda.
That is condensed as we've had.
Let's see, public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, raise your hand, and in the boardroom, come to the podium. I do have one online.
Okay, we'll start. No, come on, Richard, you're here. Okay, we'll take the online one.
All right, Jeff, you just have to unmute yourself.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I wanted to speak to the Basin Management Committee and some of the recent goings on. I've been attending the Basin Management Committees from the beginning. And so for starters, I wanted to review what the safe yield has been over the years, over these 10 years. We started with the interlocutory stipulated judgment, and the court set the safe yield at 2,400 acre feet. Then over the next several years, that was increased to 2,760 acre feet. And then through additional discussions and out of a very conservative approach, the safe yield was reduced to 2,380. And now there's a discussion about dramatically reducing that safe yield immediately. And I find that objectionable. The transient model, while it may be more sophisticated, it is still subject to the quality of the data that's inputted. I don't think we've had enough time with the model to really analyze it and see how it's different from the original steady state model. The idea that the purveyors would write a letter now urging the county to do anything is premature, in my opinion. I take issue with some of the inputs that were provided for the model, including the additional 285 acre feet of urban demand. I don't see where that comes from. I recommend that the purveyors and the county and the Basin Management Committee take the next year, 2026, to really analyze the implications of the model and how we're going to use it. There is no urgency. There's no growth. There hasn't been one property or home built since the county opened up in January of this year. Not one. So there's this perceived urgency, and it just doesn't exist. So let's take our time. Let's do a proper analysis and reach quality conclusions. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's no other public comment online.
Thanks, Laura.
Richard Margetson. Since it was mentioned, the project at the community center with the solar and the backup batteries, this meeting on Thursday is perfect timing because our board meeting for People Helping People is the third Wednesday of the month. And we've had some preliminary discussions on the last two agendas about helping with this. I think we're at 15,000 now. But we're also, Ron and I have been talking about maybe some creative financing for the community center to participate, because I think they should have a stake in this also, because the savings in the electric will be immediate. I'm looking forward to Thursday where we can actually find out exactly what we're getting into with the contract and the terms. Basin management. You've heard my comments before about Mr. Gibson's attitude and stance. But for those of you that don't know, in order for that number to be changed, it has to be unanimous. So if Gibson says no, the number doesn't get changed. So when that letter gets written, it may be time to start going to Board of Supervisors and maybe reading the letter to the Board of Supervisors. It's the only basin we got, folks. Even with the intertie, you know, that's the intertie is not for additional building. Without making an accusation, I want to follow up on Chuck's comment. I think there's something fishy going on with the retrofit issue. That I think we definitely, I think the district and I think the community needs to make sure that it's the numbers are correct and where they're getting the retrofits actually exist. Because we had a problem years ago that ended up at the Board of Supervisors. And one of the contractors actually was suspended from being allowed to do retrofits. So I'm hoping that hasn't raised its ugly head again. It's probably not the same provider, but we got to check all this stuff now because I know nobody that has agreed to have a washing machine or a toilet or a shower head changed out at this point. Anyway, I'm going to end so maybe we can catch the fourth quarter of the ball game.
Thank you. All right. Bring it back to the consent agenda.
Well, I move that we receive and file the committee and the administrative reports and approve the consent agenda. Is that right?
That sounds good.
Very good.
Okay. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. No pulled items. Any future agenda items?
Well, we have a few coming up.
Do you have enough to work on?
Yeah. Should we bring them up? So there's
I have to think. We've talked about quite a few of them earlier tonight.
Okay.
Sorry, going blank.
Nothing new, though.
It's just things we've been working on will keep coming up. Yeah.
Okay. Any closing board comments?
Yes. School's back in session. There's nothing wrong with speed limits. Obey them. I mean, they don't change because you're late to work. They don't change because you want to get home from work. They are what they are, and they're good.
Speeding doesn't get you there any sooner anyway.
It typically doesn't. Yeah.
All right. Good comment. Any others? Okay. Well, thank you to the board for all your contributions. And, you know, thank you, Ron, for such great reports. And I'll adjourn this meeting.